All right, welcome back. Adam the Bull with you here on CBS Sports Radio. NFL mini camps are over. A little break before we begin training camp in about 5-6 weeks. And another football season will get underway in 2018. Joining me now to talk about it, former NFL player, now with NFL Network, Brian Baldinger. Brian, how you doing, man? Thanks for joining me.
Hey, my pleasure, Adam. Good to be with you, man. I'm doing great. Thanks.
Yeah. It's a fun time of the year. You know, you had the mini camps and, you know, all the talks about these young quarterbacks. And what do you make of it, Brian? Because, you know, there are some teams that feel like, you know, we always hear people, rookie should sit, he should sit. I don't think there's a perfect formula. Some quarterbacks have started right away and succeeded. Some quarterbacks have started right away and failed. Same thing. Some have sat and succeeded. Some have sat and failed. Is there a perfect formula, or does it depend on the player and the team?
I think it really depends on the player and the team, Adam. I mean, if you just look at 2 years ago, I mean, there wasn't a guy in Philadelphia that thought that Carson Wentz was going to start.
Right.
Nobody within that organization. Sam Bradford was their starter. We all know what happened to Teddy Bridgewater, Minnesota. We know about the trade 8 days before. But the plan wasn't to start Carson. In fact, it wasn't even to play him. They had signed Chase Daniel from the Kansas City Chiefs. He was going to be the backup, and Carson was going to watch. And things materialized during training camp at the very end, and he ended up starting, and it was the right move, and he was ready for it. I just went to watch Sam Darnold this week at the Jets minicamp. I went up on Wednesday, and I watched him. And no offense to Josh McCown or Teddy Bridgewater, but Sam Darnold was the best quarterback that day.
Mm.
Now, I don't know if he's going to get a real good opportunity to win the job, if he's going to be given enough reps and all that kind of stuff. But, you know, he certainly looked like, you know, had a good day. And you go all the way back to 2008 with Matt Ryan and Joe Flacco, neither one of them were given the job. They both earned the job, different circumstances. So to your point, Adam, it is case by case right now.
Yeah, you look at in Cleveland where Baker Mayfield was a bit of a surprise, drafted first overall. And the Browns also traded for Tyrod Taylor. Everything out of Browns minicamp is that Tyrod is well ahead of Baker Mayfield. Would you be concerned at all, or is that silly because he's a rookie and he should be behind a veteran like Tyrod Taylor?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think that first of all, it's hard to, I mean, anybody that's making these evaluations, I mean, everybody will tell you that they're in shorts. There's, you know, it's not a game situation, all that. Now, there is a mental aspect to it, a command of learning a playbook and learning how to, you know, learning how to play the NFL game. I don't think that, I mean, I love Baker Mayfield. I love him coming out. He was my number one quarterback. It didn't surprise me to see Cleveland take him. But Tyrod Taylor's a seasoned veteran. He started a lot of games. He sat for a long time in Baltimore behind Joe Flacco, got his opportunity in Buffalo, made the best of it, got him to the playoffs this year. He's done a lot of good things, and he is a natural leader. So it doesn't concern me at all. I mean, but you'll never know about any of these guys until they get a chance to truly play. And that might not even be preseason, until they truly get a chance to play in the regular season. Will we ever really be able to make a firm evaluation?
It's a great point. I remember Andy Dalton's rookie year in Cincinnati. He was terrible in the preseason. He didn't look good in training camp, and they started him, and he had a good rookie year, you know. And so you never know. You're right. It's a great point until they play in the regular season.
No, and you know, they got to just be able to play. And you know, it's hard. It's hard to win games while you're developing a rookie quarterback. I don't care what their name is. Andrew Luck came in. He was an advanced student. Got his team to the playoffs. Peyton Manning. It took him a year, but you know, after that first year, we all know what happened. Everybody kind of learns a little bit differently. A lot of it depends on the team around you, how they're constructed. A lot depends on the coaching. I mean, there's a lot of factors outside of just being able to take a snap and making a play. So I think these guys all benefit if they get a chance to really sit and watch, and there's no pressure. But we know that that's not really going to happen in a lot of places.
We're talking with longtime NFL player Brian Baldinger, now with the NFL Network. Brian, when you look at two of the premier franchises in the AFC, the Patriots and the Steelers, mm-hmm. and they're both dealing with issues to some degree this offseason, right? Mm-hmm. Some former Patriots complaining about the Patriot way. There's maybe some bad blood between Brady and Belichick. Maybe they might have been looking to trade Gronkowski. Look at the Steelers. Big Ben's angry that the team drafted a quarterback. Bell has another holdout. Antonio Brown is yelling about he's being covered too much and all this stuff. Are you worried, or do you think either of those teams will soon be headed in the wrong direction?
No, I don't think so. I think they're all really well led. These off seasons are off seasons. I mean,
yeah.
Nothing really. With we were talking about veteran players, the only thing that matters is the regular season. And once September 6th comes around and Philadelphia tees it up on Thursday night with the Atlanta Falcons, it's all for real. And they put their game faces on. They know how to play the game. And these guys know how to coach it. And I expect Pittsburgh and New England to still be the teams to beat in the AFC. I don't think it's a lot of depth in the AFC. I think Jacksonville certainly, you know, is a player, no question about it. But they know how to play. They know how to win. They know how to get to December. They know how to, you know, they just know how to do it. And so we can sit here on the outside and, you know, I mean, one thing about New England, look, Malcolm Butler doesn't start the Super Bowl. We still don't know the story, Adam. How is that possible?
I mean, I don't know.
$32 million guaranteed deal in Tennessee. He didn't say a word. One of the lead scouts now works for the Philadelphia Eagles. I peppered him with questions about it. Wouldn't tell me the story. It hasn't come out of New England. So whatever stories do come out of New England, I always just take them with a grain of salt. I know Tommy Curran, and I know those guys up there in New England.
Yeah.
But I want to know who's really getting the story. If you can't even get a Super Bowl story 6 months later, nobody can still tell you what happened.
It's a great point. We're talking with Brian Baldinger of the NFL Network. Brian, John Gruden yesterday, after the Raiders, you know, claimed, picked up Christian Hackenberg, and then they cut him a few weeks later. And John Gruden complains that the CBA, you know, is not allowing players like that to develop. There's not enough time with them or whatever it may be. What did you think of his complaints?
Oh, he's totally valid. Completely valid. I spent 10 years over in Europe covering NFL Europe and broadcasting games for Fox and the NFL Network over there. And, you know, Christian Hackenberg, you know, he needed to be playing in the spring league. I mean, a second-round pick that hasn't taken an NFL snap, and he's out of the league right now. He needs to play. And the offseason is way too short for a young guy like Christian Hackenberg. He needs reps. He needs to get on the field. He needs to play. There's no place to play for a guy like that. And there's not enough reps to go around. And what would have happened if Kurt Warner didn't have NFL Europe?
Yeah.
Or Jake Delhomme or John Kitner. I mean, I'm just using quarterbacks. But Adam Vinatieri is still kicking in this league. He started over there. They need a spring league to develop players. And if you're going to say, well, and I totally understand all of the safety measures put in to today's game. And I agree with almost all of them. But the only way you could become a better right guard at it is by playing right guard.
Yeah.
Nothing else. You can run through shoots and wear shorts and hit bags and all that stuff. The only way you get better is by playing the position. It's a unique sport like that. And so John is completely right in his complaints.
You know, it's funny. You talk about a spring league. You know, baseball has a full minor league system.
Yep.
The NBA, now 27 of the 30 teams have a G League team.
Mm-hmm.
You would think with all the money the NFL makes, it makes more money than baseball and basketball, that they'd be able to afford for every team to have a spring league. You know, even if you only played, you know, a month or 6 weeks or whatever, and had, you know, how much could that cost? The league should be able to afford something like that, I would think. And people would watch it.
Well, I mean, whether they watch it or not,
yeah.
I mean, there's it's a necessity. They have
yeah.
to have it. They've got to develop these players. The college game is completely different than the pro game. We say it every year during the draft process. These quarterbacks haven't taken a snap. They play in these systems. You can't find a tight end that can block. I mean, all these things are all true. It's a different game in college, which is fine.
Yeah.
But you need a developmental program to incubate these kids, to grow them, find out if they can or cannot play, if they want to play. I mean, all these different factors that are valid. And so, if you just find one Kurt Warner in your program, if you just find one, I mean, Leroy Glover, if you just find one guy that came out of a spring league, it pays for itself. You know,
yeah.
You get a guy cheap that can play, that can help your team, and it helps your salary cap. If you do it correctly, it pays for itself.
Brian, last thing, Andrew Luck threw a football this week, missed all of last season. You know, there was a thought at the beginning of the year last year he'd be back for week one, then he missed the entire season. Obviously, the guy is a tremendous talent, but the injuries and the shoulder, it's a scary thing. Are you confident he can get back to being a star again?
No, I'm not confident. You know, the fact that he's throwing a college-sized football because it's lighter and easier to grip, he's thrown it 10 yards. He hasn't taken a hit in almost 2 years. Obviously, the shoulder has tremendous weakness. It isn't there yet. You can't push the river when it comes to this. He's healthy when he's healthy. But am I completely confident he can get back to that star status that we saw in 2012-13? I'm not confident. And I don't know how confident the Colts can be. I don't know how confident Andrew Luck can be. I mean, it's a step-by-step process, but he looks a long ways away from me.
You think Odell Beckham will be with the Giants at the start of the 2019 season?
I do. I think, Mr. Merrick came out and, he said some things in this offseason, like he's tired of reading about him in the newspaper. And since that statement went viral, Odell Beckham has been a good citizen. He's been over there. He's been training. He hasn't stayed away. I think he's obviously his talent speaks for itself. But I believe the Giants will get this taken care of. I think if he comes back healthy and has a season like I think he's going to have, I think he will be with the Giants in 2019 and going forward.
Brian, good stuff, man. Appreciate the time. Thank you for joining me.
My pleasure, Adam. Anytime, man.